Tonight, we have Brother Jim talking to us. He would be mindful of your silent prayers for him as well as your careful attention. Brother Jim.
I think so. Good evening, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you. You know, I like Valentine's Day. Some of these things that we celebrate in the fall and other times of year, I don't really care for. I don't think they help us. Valentine's Day is a different thing. Valentine's Day is about love. It's about caring for other people and feeling for other people. No matter how old we get, we still like to get Valentines. I slipped out yesterday and got a Valentine and a box of candy, and when we got up this morning, I never said a word. About 9:30, she got the dishes done and everything, and she went in to relax at the computer, so I took her box of candy and her Valentine in, and she got a laugh out of the Valentine, and I did too. She enjoyed it. Just like these little ones here. How many of you took Valentines to school and gave them to your classmates? And do they still do that like we did? Uh-huh, I thought so. My kids used to come home and they'd count up and see who got the most Valentines. Sometimes you couldn't figure out how anybody would get that many Valentines. And I'm really a little ashamed of myself this morning, for I forgot to buy my daughter a Valentine. Sure did. But I should have. Valentines have good messages on them. They draw us closer together with love and understanding. And I've seen the little kids run around and they'd pick a certain Valentine for a certain person and go give it to them. Another thing that mine used to do, they loved these little heart-shaped candies that had words on them. They would go around and they'd give somebody a piece of candy that had something they wanted to say to them on it. And I think it teaches our kids something. It teaches us to remember other people. It teaches us to reach out and to touch them and to be with them. And I think this is really good. And I didn't get up here to speak about Valentine's tonight, but I thought it was a pretty good time to say something and about them. And I do enjoy Valentines. My wife didn't buy me one, but I had a 2-page letter asking me if I'd be her Valentine. It was better than anything that she could have bought. It really was. So people celebrate them in different ways. It means different things to different people. But I can remember many times on Valentine's Day, I've always tried to get my wife something on Valentine's Day. Maybe it was a few flowers, maybe it was just a card. Maybe that's all I could afford. Didn't make any difference to her. It's a feeling of giving and of loving and sharing. And this is good for us, and it's good for our little people, our kids, to learn this and to have it in their lives as they grow up. I'm going to change the subject. I want to read 5 verses out of the first chapter of John. I found a little book today and it had some things in there that made me realize how important this word is. And we'll see what that word is. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Word. He was called the Word in the beginning. Is there any word, anything more powerful than a word? I think if you get to thinking about it, it's how we communicate and how we reach out to each other. The words that we say, and the words that we say usually reflects what we're thinking or what we're doing. But it's important that we realize that the words that we speak, it was that way in the beginning. Because God, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And he gave that word to us over all the years. God gave his only begotten Son that he might save the world. And in saving the world, he set up a plan that he had to be sacrificed. And we know that it wasn't an enjoyable thing. But they were thinking of us and thinking of the people. When they say the world, I think we're going to find out that it meant just what it says. He's going to save the world. I've been reading some of the prophecies and things lately. And apparently there's going to be a great deal of destruction one of these days. And it's going to take God to save it. Going to take his Son. He made it, and he can save it. He's going to make us a new earth, a new world to live in. And it must be a place for a lot of people because there'll be no seas. There'll be no oceans in this new world. I expect I've read that a lot of times in my life, but it never really sunk in. So he has a plan, and it's already planned out. He's already done his part. Now it's up to us. Do we do our part? Do we accept this word of Christ that is given to us? I want to turn to Proverbs, the 6th chapter, and read of 2 verses. I had studied mostly in the Bible and looking this up and what I wanted to do. And when I got out to Book of Mormon and Concordance, there was pages of the word, word. His word. Words. And you started down them. It was really hard, and a lot of them, to figure out whose word were they talking about. You had pretty near to go to the scripture to find what they were talking about. But in Proverbs, the 6th chapter, I guess I better get there, and the 12th verse. And I'm not sure, this is one that I read, but I don't think it's the one I meant to mark down. In fact, I want to read the first two verses instead of the 12th. It's hard to read my own writing sometimes. My son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. We're taken by the words that we say. A surety. Did we sign a loan with somebody and help them buy a house or a car? That's what it's referring to. It's referring there that when we agree to that, we have to live up to it. It has to become part of our life. And if we go on to read that, we'd find that it tells us that we need to go to that friend and humble ourselves and make sure that he can do what he said he would. Because time will tell. It's not the best way to do things, but once or twice in my life, I did have to get somebody to sign so I could get a loan to pay off something. But they always got paid. And that's what we need to make sure that we can do. In that little book, it had three lines here that I want to read. It says, faith filled works will put you over. In other words, if you've got faith and they're full of these words, you're going to gain in what you want. And it says, fear-filled words will defeat you. We do something and then we decide we're scared for what we did. It can defeat us. It can cause us to have sorrow and to not be able to live up to what we wanted. The other one says, words are the most powerful thing in the universe. And I agree. If we didn't have words, I couldn't communicate with you people here. Maybe waving my hand or something, I wouldn't get a message across. We have words to reach out to each other, to communicate. We need to use those words. We need to remember that we have friends. If we don't communicate with them, we may not continue to have friends. I find myself going home here Sundays quite often where I don't get back to that pew and get back where people are talking. It hurts to stand up. Hurts to walk. So I don't do it. So I miss out. And it is a missing out when you don't get to communicate with those that you are here with. We're a small group of people in this valley. We don't make a very big splash in the population. But we need to be for each other and to help each other in our trials. We need to be not afraid to ask someone to help and to do something. It's been hard all my life for me to ask people to help me. Very hard. I don't know why it should be. I guess you want to be independent and do everything yourself. Sometimes you can't do that. It just don't work out. You know, Jesus used words with his disciples. He used parables and different ways of teaching them the things that he wanted them to know. And I can't understand why when he was crucified, that his people, that his disciples didn't understand that he would raise up in 3 days. Several places he tells them plainly that that's what's going to happen. But yet, the 12, they all forsook him. And even one that said he wouldn't ever. And Christ told him when the cock crows the third time, you have. And he had. He had told the people there where he was at that he wasn't connected with Christ. And I know that it about ruined him afterward to think of that. It would me. If I had to stand up and say, well, I don't believe Christ. I don't know him. I don't follow his ways. I'd be lying, and it would hurt. And I can't tell you anything that would make me do it. But I can understand them doing that, but I can't understand why they didn't understand better what was taking place. Because it was something that he had warned them about. He told them it was going to happen. They'd been up and prayed. The angels had come and ministered to him, and some of them saw him. And he prayed that if it could be otherwise, that he might not have to do it. But he said, Father, it is thy will, thy way. Let thy way be, for that's what I'm here for. And we know that he died on the cross for us. And I hear people say, well, you can't just suddenly believe in Jesus Christ and be saved. What happened to a thief that was on the other cross there beside him? He said, Master, when you get to your place, make room for me. And not in those words, but close to that. And Jesus told him that that day would he be with him in paradise. He's one of the lucky ones. Because we need to live our whole life for Jesus Christ. To put our whole life into the living that we do for Christ. And it is something that we have to remember and to do. I want to turn to Mark, the 11th chapter. These pages are so thin that sometimes I feel like you're getting one and are getting more than that and you're not. The 11th chapter. I want to start at the 19th verse. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter called to remembrance, saying unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Overnight, the fig tree had died. And Jesus answering, saith unto them, have faith in God. One of the messages that we get throughout these books is have faith in God. Place our lives in his hands, but have faith in doing so. We have to believe. There's no way we can get around it, because he tells us to. 23rd verse. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. We're not to hold grudges. People do things to us and we don't like it. But we aren't to hate that individual. He tells us to love our enemies. Sometimes that's very hard to do. It's one of his laws and one of the things that he tells us to do. But we see here that he talked to a fig tree and it died. What kind of a man would it be that could talk to a fig tree and it would die? Well, it had to be Jesus. Other places he talked to the wind. He talked to the sea. And he talked to demons. And he talked to dead men. And what happened? They all quieted. The seas quieted. The waves quit flowing so hard. He raised the dead by speaking to them. And he tells us that if we will be like him, if we'll follow like him, after him in his ways, that we'll do the things that he did. Do we have faith enough in ourselves to have that strong of faith in the prayers that we have, that we could do this same thing? We don't know if we don't get into that kind of a situation and have the faith to try. But do we have that much faith? It's very important that we have faith and that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is our only way to salvation. And that salvation is the thing that each one of us is striving for. It's what he's got us on this earth doing, is striving for our salvation. He's told us that it's our time, this life, for us to make things right, that we can be with him. And that's what we want to be. I wonder, I already read the next few verses. I had them marked down to read afterward. But we have to have faith in God. And if we have enough faith, and there's a reason for it, he says that we can move mountains. And I believe him. But it's going to be up to us. Have faith enough to put our life into that type of a situation if we're in it, to believe that we can do this. I don't know just where, but in the Bible there's one place that it says that this happened, that the mountain was moved. And we know that nothing is impossible where God is concerned. Absolutely nothing. You know, Christ was very strong in what he taught and what he showed and what he gave to people. He was an individual that was full of compassion and love. And how many times did he show it? Two different times he fed multitudes with two or three fish and a loaf or two of bread. One place it says 4,000, another and it said 5,000. We would be hard-pressed today to feed that many people if they was in one area. This little bunch couldn't do it unless God was with us to help us to do it. And we know that he will be with us because he keeps giving us that promise. I want to turn into Ephesians. Ephesians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. There's a lot of really good scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I want to read the first two verses. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior." gave himself on the cross for you and I. But it says walk in love because Christ loves us. We have to love him. And it's not hard to love Christ. It's not hard to love his ways. We're told to come to him and be with him, that his yoke isn't heavy. I've read that scripture a number of times here, and I like it because it says we can come to him. When we yoke ourselves with somebody else, we join with them. He gives us an opportunity to join with him in the things that we do. Because he made that sacrifice to God for us, for the world. And when he's made this sacrifice, it should be important enough for us to know this and to follow him and to accept what he's done for each one of us. I want to turn to the latter part of that same chapter in verse 17, and to read a few verses there. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I could read the rest of that chapter and it would be very good reading. But we need to submit ourselves to the laws that Christ has given us throughout the New Testament, throughout the Book of Mormon. There are laws written. There are things that he expects us to do. And he expects us to find these things and to follow him. To follow him and to do the things as he has planned that we should do. Then we can stand against the devil and we can stand with Christ, because we need to stand with Christ. We need to be his followers, believing on him with such strength that we don't let anything else interfere with our belief in him. I want to go to the Book of Mormon, page 767. I'm going to start with the 44th verse on page 767 in the Book of Mormon. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you, for I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if you not have faith in him, then are ye not fit to be numbered among the people of his church? And again, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you concerning hope. Hope is it that you can attain unto faith, save ye shall have hope What is it that she shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that she shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised into eternal life. And this because your faith in him, according to the promise. He's given us a promise that we will be raised up unto eternal life if we do follow him. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must needs have hope. For without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you, that he cannot have faith and hope, save he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope are vain. For none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly in heart. Is it hard to be meek? Is it hard to be lowly? Is it hard to not think too much of ourselves? We can think too much of ourselves. And that's what one of these things that he's thinking here, that we're people, we're human beings, we're following him, and we need to follow the work that he has. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he hath not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, and is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, enduring all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, clearly unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whosoever is sound possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of thy heart, that ye may be filled with this love which he has bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, and when he shall appear, we shall like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen. Do we stop and think that Christ is pure? There's absolutely nothing wrong. There is nothing sour in his life. Christ knows what the great plan of salvation was. And he knows what we've got to do in our lives if we're going to follow him and partake of that. And it's important that we follow these steps of Christ, that we use these words that he's given us, use them intelligently. Use them to strengthen people, to help someone that's down, to help someone that may be in need. Maybe someone's lost a loved one. Don't be afraid to let them know that you're remembering them, that you're suffering with them. We can't help but reach out when our brothers and sisters have problems, but to lift our lives with them and to feel the things that they feel. We won't feel it as strong, but if we feel and help them, they'll know that they have someone with them. We need to be with each other. We need to be able to call on each other in times of need. And there is times of need. There's times in sickness when we need to call on the elders and be administered to. We know that Christ gave us, God gave us that right to do this and the way to do it. We need to have that in our lives, that when troubles come that are too big for us, we know where we've got help to take care of them. Because we do. Christ is there for us if we'll but ask Him. And we need to ask Him, because there's many things in this life that we're living that isn't good to be around us. But we're here. We're in this world. We need to live in this world, but not of it. We need to not do the things that we see other people do. And I want to say one thing here tonight. I went out last night again to a Valentine party at the Al-Anon group in Grand Junction. You think, well, should I go down and be with those people? Or some mighty fine people down there at that group. And I sat with Susan. I called the other day and asked you to remember her in prayer. And she thanked us for it. She had no hope when we called that night. Her doctors told her there was nothing they can do. They'd already went into her brain and took one tumor out. More in there. Two or three of them. They wouldn't even try. But she went to another doctor. This doctor looked her over, looked over the x-rays, the things that they had. He says, we can take care of these without even invading your brain. She couldn't believe it. But she's very happy. But she says, Jim, I'm ready. She says, I've lived my life. I've had my children. I've had them to love. And you know, there's a lot of people up there that are old friends of mine that I haven't seen for a long time. And she has the faith that she would be there with those people. A strong faith. The first cancer was taken out of her lungs. And they apparently got that taken care of with no problem. Now, they're going to be able to take this other, give her another lease on life. And she was happy about that. But she says, if it don't work, it's all right, because I'm ready. Do we feel that way if something goes, if something happens? Are we ready to meet God? Are we prepared? Have we lived our life so that we would feel comfortable knowing that we were going to die and go to heaven or go to paradise to be with God? We need to be. We need to have lived our lives that we can feel this way. It's important for us to continually pray to God about these things. Lift up our troubles to Him and let Him help us. Because He's willing, but He wants to be asked. He knows our problems before we ask. But we need to ask. We need to let Him know that we believe and that we can follow Him. And we need to prepare our lives that this would be the way that we would be if the time come. Other people besides this group have great faith in God. I don't know what the answer is, but I know there's a world of good people out here. And I know God has His plan. And it includes those people somewhere, some way. Says it'll be a little group. Well, I hope it's not too little, because there's too many good people. People we've learned to love and to understand. And I think I've said enough for one night. Thank you.